This program is produced in the frame of a joint international campaign on nutrition, food and agriculture of the World Association of Community Radio Broadcasters, AMARC, and the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization.
Hi, good morning and welcome to NRFM here at Santry Community Garden in Santry Park. And if you're passing by, do drop in. It was raining earlier on, but it's cleared up a little bit. In front of me now I have Donna Callan, chairperson of the Santry Community Garden.
Absolutely.
So give us a little bit of background to the garden itself.
Well, it was originally the walled garden, the Victorian walled garden that was adjoining Santry Domain House. And of course the house fell into disrepair, as did the walled garden. And about 5 years ago, when the park had just been redeveloped, we used to walk around and say, wouldn't it be wonderful to sort of to see that open and to try and bring it back to its former glory. And that was really the seed of the idea.
Okay, is the house completely gone?
Oh, it has. Now there is still, there's a sort of a mound with a sort of espalier trees out in the park, and you can see that's where the house was.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, I mean, it was one of the great houses of North Dublin. It would have been similar to something like Castletown, mm-hmm. over in Selbridge. And unfortunately, it's just that there's nothing left of it at all.
Okay. And the park itself, it was part of the grounds. Is that the way it worked?
Exactly, yes. And it's quite an unusual park. Once you know where the house was, if you actually look from this mound and these steps, you can see how all the trees were planted, especially for the vista, mm-hmm. for the family who lived there. So the whole park, it would have been the grounds of the domain itself.
Okay, and do you know who owned it or any background to that?
A little bit. It was the Domville and Barry families. And I believe the Barry, the family left in the 1920s, and it began to get it was unproductive for them or uneconomic for them. They couldn't keep it up. And then over 20 years, it just gradually fell into disrepair. And I think really by the 80s, you know, long after the house was gone, even all the grounds, it was just called Santry Woods.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of, you know, it was an area really where I think, you know, lots of local kids used to come and sort of get up to all sorts of silly games and things in the grounds.
And I think that's a change in it now, though, really. At the time, it would be just local kids or maybe local people, especially the kids, would avail of it. It was their adventure land,
yes,
as you might call it that. But the development of it now into a park, we'll talk about the garden in a minute, but development of it in the park, that's just happened over the past 25 years, I mean.
Absolutely, or even less than that. It was when Northwood got built, the whole development, there was obviously a lot of local opposition because of the ancient woodlands, Santry Woods, that was here, and obviously an awful lot of trees had to be demolished, and quite rightly, local residents were up in arms about that. So in negotiations with the council and the developers, they just said, well, you can build, but we want a local park for our people. And that's how it happened. So the developers actually built the park, and then the council agreed to take it on and do the maintenance.
Okay, so it was actually designed by the developers themselves, the way it was outlaid. Anything to do with the people at all within the area to have any input into it?
I don't know. I think a lot of it would have been sort of what was originally there, like, mm-hmm. how the grounds would have been laid out 100 years
ago. So it's still as natural as it was then.
It is, and it is a historical site, and I think now local people, from what was just a wild adventure land, they can now come in and see what in a way is living history.
Mm. And I think in a way as well, it's a little gem as such. It's like the Ivy Gardens at the back of the concert hall, that was unknown for many, many years, and this is a little bit like that as well.
I think so. I mean, obviously it's a park I come to now every week, and I love it. You see, the whole place, it is alive. The dog walkers use it, runners. I mean, we've got the Morton Stadium is in part of the grounds,
mm-hmm.
so it's a very lively park. There's a children's playground, so it really is a local amenity for everybody and where people do come and congregate.
Okay, and the idea for the Santry Community Garden, what was the genesis of that?
Well, that was, as we said, we were thinking, wouldn't it be great? They'd rebuilt all the walls. It was looking, you know, it could have been beautiful, but there was nothing in here at all. And the council couldn't afford to do anything in terms of cultivating it. They just didn't have the money. So we said, well, how, you know, why don't we take it over as allotments? And Fingal said, you know what, it's such a historic site. Allotments would just break up, you know, the whole walled garden, the way it would have been originally planned out. And we want you to do something that will sort of keep to that historical heritage. So we decided then it would be a community garden. We'd all come together and work together on it. So it's a very cohesive plot, split into three sections. The place where we are now is the kitchen garden, so that's got all of our fruits and vegetables, our polytunnel, our perennials. We've all of the root beds, all of the vegetable beds are done on a rotation basis. We've got our herb garden, and then the second section is our heritage orchard. And the third section is our front garden, which is sort of our recreational area, which we're planting up with just with shrubs and flowers. And eventually we'd like that section to be open whenever the park is open.
Okay. And it's been developed by the community itself, and they're all the people that work in it. And is there any particular, it's distinguished from an allotment. Does it work in the same way, even though it is a garden?
It doesn't. I actually think community gardens are better than allotments. You know, if you have an allotment, it's an awful lot of work, huge responsibility. It costs a lot of money. Whereas, you know, the community garden, it's €20 to join or €10 for concessions, and that's for a year. You've got all your tools, all the seeds, everything is all laid on. All you need to do is wear a decent pair of working boots and bring a mug for a cup of tea.
I was just thinking, the distinguishing of both, that nobody owns any particular part. Everybody jumps in and works wherever they can.
They do, but I mean, obviously, because it's so big, it's 4 acres, so we have to have some structure on it. So we do have some lead gardeners. So every year we'll have, you know, different gardeners might take on a particular one of the areas, like Tony looks after the kitchen section. You'll be speaking to him shortly. Martin is looking after the orchard, and then we had Niall looking after the front section, and now we're also getting Pat, Carl and Kay involved in that area.
So there's more people getting involved all the time.
Yes.
And just looking around, it reminds me a little bit when it was up in Bloom, they had the section walled off. And also Botanic Gardens have a section like this as well.
That's right.
So it's terrific.
Oh, well, thank you. And I've got to say, you know, that's a huge compliment to us, because, you know, we run it on a shoestring. And, of course, it's all voluntary. We've got nobody here who works here all the time. Now, in saying that, we've got Philip, who is our sort of employee. So he's here an awful. He's here 20 hours a week at the moment, which is wonderful. So he's been doing loads. But it really is local people who are all just coming in when the garden is open and literally digging in together to get it done.
And what happens, how do you work out with the produce that comes out of the ground?
Well, this is what everybody asks us. It's the most important part. What we do is whoever is working that day, we will harvest whatever, you know, is whatever's in harvest at that time, lay it all out on the table, and then we just divide it amongst ourselves.
Okay, very, very good.
So it means you get a great variety.
And you were talking about the dereliction of the house has gone, but the wall is still here, but has part of it been renovated?
Yes, it has. And again, that was part of the developer's remit when they came in and rebuilt some of the walls. Now, unfortunately, we also found that they put an awful lot of rubble and rubbish, their builder's rubbish, in the ground here.
But, it's all good foundation.
Well, it is. We're digging up the stones as we go.
Okay. And any big plans for future?
Well, yes and no.
We won't talk about the vineyard that you have in the middle of the garden.
Oh, yes, that's lovely. I think really the main thing is it's sustainability. I want this garden to still be here in 15, 20, 25 years. And it's not down to one person. It's down to a whole community of people who all feel they've got some ownership in it, pride in it. That's what's going to keep it going. I'm very proud of what we've got now. We've got our polytunnel, our apiary, our beautiful orchard where people can sponsor trees, and our wonderful front section. So really, I think if we can keep that going, that in itself will be an enormous achievement.
And people can drop in here at any time.
We're open 4 days a week, normally between 2 and 4 Wednesdays and Fridays, and 11 to 1 Saturdays and Sundays. But obviously, when the weather's good and this time of year, we're often open for longer. Okay. And we are always looking for new members.
And there's some special refreshments on today. I imagine that's just for today.
It is, but in saying that, if you are a member, if people join up, and we're always looking for people, we've got some fantastic chefs in our membership, and nearly everybody, the tea break is the most important part of any garden session.
So what have you got for the people today if you drop over?
Oh, today, homemade cupcakes by Liz, walnut cake, tea brack, beautiful oat cakes, we've got loads and loads. We have an awful lot. I'm meant to be on a diet at the moment, and it's going to be very, very difficult for me the next while.
But you keep talking about looking for new members. So do you have to live in the area, and what's the procedure?
Not at all. Anybody is free to join. Obviously, most of them are local because it's just handy to come up here. But no, anybody, even if you don't have any experience gardening, because there's loads of other people here who do. So it's a great place to come and learn and experiment and see that's what I found. I'm actually not a great gardener at all. I'm just the bossy boots who sort of organise the stuff, but I've learned a lot over the last few years.
Good place to learn.
It sure is.
Okay, sorry about the description in the beginning. But,
don't worry, I loved it.
Yeah, I did. I put a smile on your face. And that's Donna Callan, chairperson of the Santry Community Garden. And if people want to get in touch, what should they do? Have you got a website?
We do, santrycommunitygarden.ie, and our email address is santrycommunitygarden@gmail.com, or just come up and visit us at any of the opening hours. We always welcome people.
Okay. Thank you very much, Donna.
Thank you, Noel.
Thank you. Let you get back to it.
Thank you.
Okay, and that was Donna Callan, chairperson of the Santry Community Garden, and we'll be talking to lots of other people in the course of the programme as well. Okay, and straight away now I'm going to talk to Suzanne Fuchs, and she's from the Dublin Community Growers. Hello, Suzanne, how are you?
Hello, I'm very well, thank you.
Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I got involved with the Dublin Community Growers, and we are a network for all the community gardens in Dublin. We have now 46 different community gardens in Dublin, and I think we have shown Dublin City Council that how important it is. I mean, there are loads of lonely people out there, and there's no need. Mm-hmm. If you have a bit of space, a bit of land, and you can make a community garden. And as some of the speakers before me said already, not everybody who comes to a community garden is actually a gardener. Mm-hmm. No, very often they are not qualified, but we love to work together.
Yeah,
and it's not all
it's
about.
It's more like a community. It can be a good community gathering, and you can be just a good observer and meeting people. I suppose that's what you're talking about in that sense. Yeah,
it's a great mix.
And your group is like an umbrella group that represents everyone from all the areas to the council. Is that the way it works as well?
Yes, we have a monthly meeting, and anybody who wants to create a community garden, they can come and get advice, and we help them set one up. Or also we bring the gardens together. We have a monthly event where there are talks about certain plants, and like I was yesterday at a herbal workshop. So every month there is somewhere in one of the community gardens is something on, and everybody is always welcome. And our next step is now we want to create a city farm as well.
Okay. Can we just talk about the community gardens? And are you involved with, say, allotments as well? Is that all in the one umbrella?
No, allotments would be separate.
Okay. So the community gardens, how hard would it be? Would they need something like established, like what we have here, walls, something to surround, or can it be open plan?
It can be open plan. It can be any piece of land, and we can help them setting it up. I mean, I'm very closely involved with the Phippsborough Community Garden, and that was just a piece of wasteland. And
the one in Great Western Square?
Yeah.
Yes,
and
I know
we
that,
have
yeah.
made a willow hedge around it. So we don't have a set structure. We don't have walls. But you can make that with plants.
Okay. Now, that's outside of the remit, say, of someone that... It's not outside your door. It's not within your garden. So it's a piece of a land outside which the council would own. So how do you approach them for that and say, look, that land is just waste there. I want to do this. when you make that representation, what's their reaction to it?
Nowadays, the Dublin City Council is very open.
Okay, well, nowadays, but initially, what was it like?
Initially, they were sceptical. And they thought, yeah, you're going to do that maybe for a couple of months, it will be fine, and then nobody will come, and it will just get overgrown, and you might have dug holes there, which we don't want.
Okay. Or yeah, but it was lying waste anyway. I mean, the Preston Square is a great example. That it didn't make, if you did abandon it, it didn't really make that much difference. And is it hard getting money out of them when you do show that it's successful?
Money is always hard.
You could talk to Fintan after. He's down the road there. And the structure itself, how many people is involved in the community grower?
I can't tell you how many members we have.
Not exactly.
I can tell you we have 46 gardens.
Okay.
Would have between 10 and 30.
So 500 more or less of people involved.
Because, I mean, this one here is exceptional. It's so large.
Yes, yeah.
And it's beautiful, as you can see, it's beautiful. And it teaches our children something. I helped starting a school garden as well at my kids' school. And the first year when we grew pumpkins, I had so many adults coming to me and saying, that's how a pumpkin plant looks like.
Oh, this year now would be very popular
with pumpkins. Did you see the pumpkins there?
No, I'll have a look at them
later on.
They're
massive.
We'll get one for Halloween.
But yeah, we only know pumpkins from seeing them at Halloween in the supermarket. Mm. That's why adults came up to me and said, I never saw the plant before. Mm-hmm. And a couple of years back, somebody did a survey with primary school kids and asked them, where does cheese come from? And the children thought it's a plant.
Wow. That's surprising,
that
we have to say.
That is surprising and sad. And that's why community gardens and back to nature is so important. Also, we talk about obesity in children. We talk about the rise of diabetes. Mm-hmm. We have to go back and think of what do we actually feed our bodies. If you go to a supermarket, it's all processed food. And here in the community garden, walk through it, walk through the herb section and just rope the leaves and smell it. Mm-hmm. It is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And every dish you cook yourself at home.
It's beautiful. The different scents walking around the garden here now is amazing now, even though it was a bit rainy this morning. But just tell the folks it is brightening up, so if you're in the area, do drop into the Santry Garden. Do you scout and sort of prospect and have a look and say, well, and approach an area and say, look, would you be interested? There's a piece of land over there you could develop. Do you work like that, or do you wait for people to come to you?
We need people to come to us, because ideally it is people who live in that area, because for me, it would not be practical to enroll here now in Santry, because mm-hmm. it's too far away. Mm-hmm. And when in winter, when the weather is not nice, do I really want to make my way all the way out to Santry?
No, but I mean, you do get help to get people established, don't you?
Yes, you do.
Yeah. That's what I mean. If you happen to see, when you're driving back, if it's far away from where you are now and you saw something, would you be inclined to say, there's a piece of land that could be developed, approach the area and say, listen, do you want me to go to the council and see what I can do? And would you be interested in doing a little garden here? Would it work like that?
No, it works more like the people live have to come to us.
Okay. And if they want to, how would they get in touch with you?
Oh, we have a website.
Okay.
We are dublincommunitygrowers.ie. And how I said, we have a monthly meeting. That's usually the first Monday of the month. And it's in the food co-op in Dublin.
Okay. Now, you gave me a number for community gardens. Could you give me that again? How many are there?
We have 46 community gardens in Dublin.
Just in Dublin.
Some
yeah.
are big, some are small, and they're fantastic. And even if you're not involved already in a community garden, I say, come along, have a look where they are. You can find the locations on our website. And most times, most community gardens are active on a Saturday. So you will always find somebody there on a Saturday. Not necessarily during the week.
Okay. Well, listen, thank you very much for talking to us. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I'm sure it's going to... Is this your first time in Santry?
It's my first time here, and I was very curious because I heard it's 4.5 acres, and I think it's absolutely fantastic and amazing.
Okay.
And they do a great job here.
Okay. And it, attached to a park, that's another idea as well, isn't it, really?
It's great. I mean, in Broadstone is in a park as well, in a public park at the end of it. And again, they started very small. They approached Dublin City Council and asked, can we and they said, you can have this part of the park. And they started very small. They only got a couple of flower raised beds in there at the beginning. And now it got much bigger.
You're going to have people now that maybe listen to us now, be visiting the local park, looking out for spots where they can open their own community garden, I guarantee you, probably. Listen, Suzanne Fuchs, thank you very much from Dublin Community Growers. Thank you very much
thank
for talking
you.
To us. And I'm talking now to Tony Harrison. He's one of the lead gardeners of Santry Community Gardens. Hello, Tony. How are you?
How are you? How's things?
You were telling me before you come on that you know nothing at all about gardening before you got involved in it here. So what I'll ask you to do is tell me how initially the garden, Donna at the start told me some of it, but a lot of hard work.
There was a lot of hard work. When we started first, we basically had to dig the ground and take out rubble that was here, left here from the building site, from all the apartments. Mm-hmm. It seemed to be used as a bit of a dumping ground for stuff. So initially, all the members dug with pickaxes and we took everything out in wheelbarrows and moved off to the side, and lots and lots of hard work.
So you persevered anyway.
We did, yeah. And you can see now with the garden the way it is at the moment, it's okay. Really coming on.
And you were saying there, I was asking as well, just looking at the apartments at the back, because it's a huge development that goes all the way up to Ballymun at the back of the park here and the back of the garden. They all have access at this end of it. They don't have to come in from the Santry end either.
Yeah, just there's a side gate at the back of the garden here, and just beyond that is an entrance that goes out into the apartment blocks.
Okay.
Out there.
Okay, now you're involved in doing all the heavy lifting and pushing and shoving and digging and wheeling barrows and getting rid of all the stuff, and you were telling me where it went and how you developed that with the dunes at the back. But the gardening you had knew nothing about, so how did you get involved with the gardening end of it, ended up being the lead gardener?
I think it was, I got into the position because I spent a lot of time here, and the way I am, when I get into something, I get totally into something. So I really do a lot of reading, a lot of research. And when I started up here, I had never really been into gardening at all. I wouldn't even cut weeds out the back of the house. That's how bad it was. I was in a lot of trouble there. But through a lot of the members here, there's some amazing members here that I latched onto at the start, because I knew their knowledge, and it's all the old ways. Like, I was reading book after book after book, and it's great to read books and look at pictures, but your gardening can still be a bit overwhelming when you go out to actually do something. So when I got involved up here, I was able to work with these people, and they gave me all the knowledge, the easy ways of doing things instead of following the books. Like, the books are great for one thing, but when you want the real knowledge, it's great to have, you know, all the older members here.
Yeah, I think so. In lots of cases, I mean, it's the same thing can apply to, I think, playing an instrument. Sometimes it gets too technical where you'd be better off just getting your hands dirty and that's it. Just get down and do it.
Yeah.
And whatever tips you can get from somebody. So your garden must look great at home now.
It looks amazing. Yeah, it does. Yeah. Basically, my garden, I grow all my own fruit out the back. I grow a lot of the veg. I've everything raised beds. I've just a normal back garden. Mm-hmm. I put a greenhouse in, and I'm starting to put in water butts for recycling water and all that. Especially
now, I know it's been said that you're a great cook, and initially you got interested in the garden because you were sometimes herbs and stuff like that being expensive, and you can grow them out the back. But how financially, how economic is it to grow herbs outside the back?
It's very easy.
In an ordinary garden,
all you need is a couple of pots. Most herbs that people use nowadays are Mediterranean herbs anyway, so the likes of thyme, oregano, all those sort. They're all Mediterranean herbs, so what they like a lot of good drainage. So a lot of the soil we have over here is heavy clay soil, so you have to do a lot of work in it. But if you grow them in pots, it means you can actually buy in a bit of topsoil, get a load of grit, and mix them half and half because they like drainage. So and then just grow them in that and keep them watered, and you cut them back up when it comes into winter, and they just grow again next year.
Okay. And as you're picking them, that doesn't kill it now.
The thing about thyme and that, they are fairly vigorous growers once they get settled in. And daily I go out and I pick herbs out the back to do salads, cook different types of meats, and it's great to have fresh herbs because you go into the shops and you buy them and they've been sitting there for weeks anyway.
Yes, yeah.
and the difference in the smell and the flavour. And you're just cutting a few bits off here and there, but it's brilliant for even throwing into salads like thyme and oregano leaves, flowers, flower heads, all that sort. I would put into salads, you know.
Well, yeah, well, now when you're talking the gardening, that was new to you when you said that, that. But you had been doing a bit of cooking before you got into the gardening. So the cooking now, tell me a little bit about the cooking. What do you like to cook?
At the moment, I do a lot of Indian cooking. I kind of got into that since Christmas. My wife bought me a book on Indian. I've always been interested in learning how to cook Indian properly. So I got the book and went out and I spent money and bought all the spices and herbs that I needed and have them all in a drawer, all in jars, a bit OCD that way. But at least I have everything there. If I need to cook something, I don't have to go looking for it. I can just pick a dish and just go and cook it. And I use a lot of the produce from the garden. I do a lot of vegetarian dishes now because I was never into vegetarian stuff. But there's a lot of variety in Indian food that you can use vegetables
in. And are you
a
vegetarian?
No. My daughter kind of became a vegetarian for a while and I started to cook a lot of vegetarian food. But I do now anyway, even though I'm a real carnivore myself. Yes, I like me meat. But it's amazing that you can just go out and do that then out of the back garden and just pick things and I cook all the time.
Now, I watch a lot of the cook shows on TV. I'm still not a great cook myself. Not good even, but they make it sometimes sound easy, sometimes sound simple, but it goes so quickly that you're going, no, that's too complicated.
Yeah.
Is it as complicated as they make it look? You make it sound quite easy now, for instance.
It's not. The thing about, the thing about cooking is if you learn a few basic things about cooking, how to cook a potato properly, how to cook carrots properly, and it all depends on what way you like to eat them, you know. But if you get a few basic things, like my wife was never really into cooking. She never had an interest in cooking. Mm-hmm. If you have an interest, that makes a huge difference because now she'll go online and she'll find a recipe and she'll cook it up for us and the food is amazing, you know. And it's just having that little bit of interest. If you've no interest, you're kind of lost.
Well, sometimes it's not so much interest as time consuming. You know, if people want maybe, okay, give me a half an hour to prepare and then let it cook and then I'll eat it. So within an hour and a half at least.
Yeah, well, I mean, I could go into the house now. Now, I know I'm cooking a long time.
Yeah.
There are lots of recipes out there and you'll see them all over the web. There's books everywhere of 15-minute meals and all that sort of stuff. But and they do work, you know, because I can go in and I cook cook an Indian meal in 20 minutes, you know, for six people.
Okay.
No problem, you know. But that's just me and just where the level I've got myself to. But it's really to do with, if you have that little bit of an interest in the type of food that you want to eat, you know, like an awful lot of the stuff nowadays, it's all processed, it's all quick, stick it in the microwave.
Yes,
And I mean, you don't blame people because they have busy lives. But really, when you think of it, if you take that extra 15 or 20 minutes out to cook yourself a proper meal and you're getting proper vegetables into it, they're not full of salt, it makes a huge difference to your health and your drive.
Well, you talk about health there now and you're in charge of the vegetable garden here.
Yeah.
One thing with kids is hard to get them to eat some of the vegetables. Is there any way that maybe one or two recipes you could suggest that people could do, not to make them vegetarian, but to eat maybe broccoli and cabbage, to mix it up in some way that would make it, you know, look delicious?
Yeah, well, I mean, I did a dish last night that had broccoli, carrots, had French beans I took from the back garden, chop up, and basically if you have a couple of spices together, all you need really to do is chop up an onion, fry it off for about 10 minutes, put in some garlic. Most people have garlic in, so even say 2 or 3 cloves of garlic, and get a tin of tomatoes, pop that in, a little bit of salt, and throw in some spices. Most people will have turmeric probably in the house, or a little bit of cumin, or if you don't, just you can grab one in the shops, and it's just that it's nice to have a little bit of chili powder, and then basically what you do is you cook all your tomatoes off for about.
You make it sound very appetising, but you lost me at garlic. I'm learning to garlic.
You know, well, you don't have to use garlic. Okay, okay. You could just use the ginger. If people don't use certain things, just leave them out. It doesn't matter. You're not going to miss it if you don't like it.
But the best way you're saying is with vegetables, all sorts of things, a nice taste and flavours, with herbs and spices.
Then basically chop up all your veg nice and small, and then you cook off your tomatoes for about 10 minutes with the spices and that, and then throw your veg in, put in a little bit of water, put a lid on it and cook it for about another 10 minutes, and there you go.
So today now, with what's happening today, are you happy with the community garden and the way it's developed, and hopefully it'll develop even more over the years?
It's absolutely amazing, and the guys here are amazing, the members, and I'm very proud of basically what we've done here, and everyone should be.
And so you should be. Okay, Tony, thank you very much for talking to us, and I hope people are writing those recipes down.
Exactly, yeah. And
do you have a website, maybe?
We do have a website, okay. SantryCommunityGarden.ie, and we have a Facebook page as well. And we're always looking for members, so give us a break for a while, you know.
Okay, thanks very much, Tony. And that's Tony Harrison. He's one of the lead gardeners here in the Santry Community Garden, and he looks after the vegetable garden with some nice tips there.
This program is produced in the frame of a joint international campaign on nutrition, food and agriculture of the World Association of Community Radio Broadcasters, AMARC, and the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization.